flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
4 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder program. Giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Morgan Wallen with special guests Miranda Lambert, Brooks Dunn, and more. It's going to be at Hard Rock Stadium in July. So if you want to enter, today's code word is stadium. Text the word stadium to 20357. That's stadium to 20357. Get all the info at WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Want to get in on the chance at winning free tickets? Text the word stadium to 20357. Quick Panthers update. Road to a repeat. Road to a repeat, by the way, sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play. Get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. We were talking with Plagans when we were out at the arena yesterday. I'll give everybody a reminder again. You want to see Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks, but really a chance to see Connor Bedard play hockey. That is Saturday, 1 p.m. puck drop at the Amerant Bank Arena. They also host the Islanders Sunday following day at the arena. That's a 6 p.m. puck drop. Then the Panthers are going to hit the road for 2 quick road games next week. They play in Washington Tuesday and St. Louis on Thursday. So Panthers, if you have a chance to see them this weekend, they will be home Saturday and Sunday. And it's a good time out there, so you can go out, have a good time. I enjoyed that segment with Josh Appel very much in the last segment. I like segments much like the Seinfeld show about nothing. And that segment was about nothing. What are you doing in Orlando for the Pro Bowl games? Are you just interviewing people for the pivot or you have anything to do?
Yeah, no, we don't have like legitimate responsibility, but yeah, interviewing people, and then we're going to like the skills challenge. We're going to all the events and everything.
When is that? That's this Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, something's tonight.
Or do they? I guess they start taping them, like they start filming them, and then
yeah, go so on Saturday or something. Tonight's at 7 that we have to go to, and then we just talk to guys, and then hey, pivot guys, hey man, jump on. We're at the same hotel you are, and we just harass people pretty much
until they give you their time.
Yes.
So, yeah, understood. That's the business.
So we saw Tristan walking around, and we said, hey, Tristan.
Is that how you ended up with Tristan Wirfs?
And it's like, hey, Gan, come jump on. Man, love the show. Hey, jump on. Where you at? Oh, well, we're available tomorrow morning. And then he was like, oh, I'm ready at 9. We said, okay, well, we'll be here. Come to room 1D110, whatever. We have a nice little spread here.
Give you a little 15 minutes of heat as well. That's sponsored by Hollywood Kia. The big game is here. Tackle game-winning deals during the handoff drive-off event at Hollywood Kia. Get $1,000 lease bonus cash towards your new Kia. Plus, they'll double your down payment up to $3,000. It's all online at HollywoodKia.com or call 832-930-6181. There was a little bit of breaking news about Udonis Haslem. Udonis Haslem has signed a full-time contract with ESPN. To be an analyst and appear regularly on First Take and the other programs. Barry Jackson says he is not giving up his Miami Heat responsibilities, but he has been hired full time by ESPN.
And you know what? I'm proud to say, I'm not saying I'm a part of this decision, but I did talk to UD after his retirement, and he asked us, me, him, Vic. There was a couple guys at some rich dude's wife's birthday party. And he kind of asked us, like, hey, man, like, with retired life, what do I need to do? We were like, bro, you got to find something to do. Like, you have to find something else to do. Like, you can't sit around the house. And now I'm seeing all the stuff he's doing. And, you know, I might have had a little hand in letting him, telling him.
He happens to be very good. I think he's very good.
I think he'd be so much better if he didn't have to dance around the Heat stuff.
Well, that's the thing, too. The same situation with Tom Brady and the Raiders. And, like, you still, like, because there were a couple times where Udonis was talking about Jimmy Butler. I remember this was before all the hoo-ha erupted. And then Pat Riley, I think, came out and said, well, he doesn't speak for the team. That, like, yeah, he has to dance around. A little bit. But I think he's very good at what he does.
I think he'll be just as good or better than Perk. And Perk, I love Kendrick Perkins. If he doesn't have to dance around. So he can speak freely on every team but one. But the one team he can't speak freely on is the team everybody's going to ask him about. So that's the weird part I think UD got to navigate.
The other Miami Heat news, I'm having a tough time with my little browser there. The other Miami Heat news that is percolating today, not to mention Perk, is that Terry Rozier is under some sort of investigation by the feds. This is the article from CBSSports.com. Miami Heat point guard Terry Rozier is under federal investigation as part of a wider government probe into a sports gambling ring, according to the Wall Street Journal. The investigation is centered around a game between the Charlotte Hornets and New Orleans Pelicans on March 23rd, 2023, that included unusual betting activity surrounding prop bets against Rozier's stats. Authorities believe some of the people involved in the Jonte Porter betting scandal may have had inside information that compelled them to bet against Rozier. In that game nearly 2 years ago, Rozier played only 9 minutes and 34 seconds. He finished with 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists, which means he went under on everything. He was not listed on the injury report before the game, but he did not play again for the Hornets during that season afterward. When he left the game, the Hornets called him doubtful to return with right foot discomfort. He was listed with that injury for the remainder of the season. Rozier has not been charged with a crime or accused of wrongdoing. The NBA was made aware of the situation at the time, but found no violations. In March 2023, this is from NBA spokesman Mike Bass, In March 2023, the NBA was alerted to unusual betting activity related to Terry Rozier's performance in a game between Charlotte and New Orleans. The league conducted an investigation and did not find a violation of NBA rules. We are now aware of an investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York related to this matter and have been cooperating with that investigation. Rozier, who was traded to the Heat last January, has played 41 games for Miami this season, has thus far declined to comment.
The more information, we've been doing this, you know, we've been going, what, 2 hours and 11 minutes now. The more information, the more I think Terry had nothing to do with this.
Here's what it strikes me as, and again, we don't have the info, but my thought is Terry Rozier tells his teammates, man, I am hurting. I'm going to try to tough this one out, but man, I am hurting. Tells them that at shoot around. He's not on the injury report. Or Jonte Porter overhears Terry Rozier on the phone with someone going, yeah, man, this is, I don't know if I can even make it tonight, but I'm going to give it a shot. And that's where the info comes in. Because if the NBA investigated it and they found no wrongdoing, that would be my belief, that his name is associated with the investigation. But my belief is there's probably nothing on him in particular.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what I thought, where one of his teammates, no, he's not 100%.
Yep.
And says, hey, and, you know, they're in the, they have some sharks out there and be like, hey, Terry ain't going to play but 9 minutes tonight. He can't even run. Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Let's make some money off of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm watching Terry in practice. Guy can barely move.
To be honest, I could have done this. Like, you know,
this is the danger. And it's why gamblers, when someone is on the injury report or not on the injury report, the real gamblers go, wait a second. We need clarity from the league. Does the injury report hold water or doesn't it? Because, I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars every night.
That can be bet. It's just like you know, he's been on with us. Ronnie Brown, this is one of my best friends. Like, I knew games where Ronnie's like, bro, I can barely step on this left ankle.
Right.
If I knew that and told somebody, oh, Ronnie's over under is 76 yards. Man, Ronnie ain't running for no 76 yards a day.
Right.
Like, that could have been done by anybody that heard him or anybody, even not even that close. You see a guy in the training room at 6 a.m. every day throughout the week. Bro, Chris Chambers' shoulder is shot. He's not catching 7 balls today. Okay.
You know, or even could be something with the Dolphins. Teron Armstead listed it probable all week, but if someone's there and he's like, oh, man, that dude ain't probable. That guy can barely lift his leg, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Tua's going to be under some pressure today, like – you know, the gambler extrapolates
Two was under. Because, yeah, that little media time, I remember a bunch of guys were like that. They'd practice to show the media they're on the field. And as soon as the media leaves, they go in and take their pads off and go do rehab because they can't play, but they don't want to, you know, they're playing the game you're talking about. Probable, questionable, out, in, whatever. Yeah, it's, whew. But now it's a federal investigation. We're talking earlier. I don't like to be looked at by the feds.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Let's get headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour. Clay Ferreiro is going to join us. I want to talk a little Jimmy Butler with him. Headlines and Dan Day. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
One more Heat note. Dwayne Wade has revealed that he had a cancerous tumor that he had to have surgery last year where 40% of his kidney was removed.
Yeah, I saw that headline as well. I haven't read the story yet, so I didn't want to comment on it. But yeah, he said that on a podcast, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wish him the best as always. Love Dwayne Wade. The Heat, they did not do so well last night. Lost by 2,126 to 106 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are in San Antonio to play the Spurs. That is going to be Saturday at 8:30.
All right.
NBA announces its all-star backups tonight at 6:30 on a TNT. Tyler Hero hopes to make the backups of the all-stars.
He has a good chance, and we've said it. I mean, we hope he does, obviously. I'd love to see the Heat represented for all-star weekend on the actual all-star team But I don't know. I don't know what the odds are that he's going to do it. You know, a lot of times we look at this stuff through heat-colored glasses. I remember it with the Goran Dragic season where we were certain he was going to the All-Star game. And he ended up making it, but it was after three other guys had gotten injured.
I don't know if Tyler Hero's name is big nationally.
I don't know. I don't know if people think that he's special. Like, we watch him because we're watching every game and we know what he's been and what he is now. And so, yeah, I don't know. The name recognition obviously has something to do with it.
Adam Silver has floated out the idea of changing quarters from 12 minutes to 10 minutes in the NBA. He says it'll be more like the international game to give it more international reach, and he likes the idea of games being simply 2 hours, or most likely 2 hours instead of 2 hours and 15 minutes for today's
They're trying to do that public. Soccer thing, because they want to be an international sport. Soccer is an international sport, the most successful international sport. Those games are an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Period, end of story. You can set your clock by it. Obviously, you're going to have some stoppage time, extra time. But those games are an hour and a half. And he's probably looking at that and saying, hey, if we want to really become an international sport that competes with soccer, we should follow some of the stuff that they're doing. I don't like it. I like my games to take some time. I like to be leisurely about everything. I'm playing Dordle and Quartle and Tortle. Snacking on some Cheez-Its, maybe some cottage cheese. Yeah, it's a whole thing. I don't want the game to be done at 9. I don't want the game starting at 7, done at 9. I like it to be this object that continually moves, and I like the way that it is. I would elongate the games before I would shorten them.
I don't know. Like you're saying, the reasoning behind it is to make – it's really to make more money, make it quick, you know, international. It ruins all records. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to break any more scoring titles. Nobody's going to get triple-doubles like they have. Nobody's getting to what Russell Westbrook did a couple
years
back.
You haven't heard the second part of it. They're adding a 4-point line.
It really changed the game. It's even the NFL adding the 17th game.
Changes everything. Like, a 1,000-yard rushing season is not that big a deal. It wasn't as big a deal with a 16-game season as it was with a 14-game season. Certainly not as big a deal with a 17-game season.
Yeah, it's just I don't like it because it cuts – what would that be? Cuts 8 minutes out of every game? That's a long time of basketball.
And I need more live betting time, too. I like to live bet during the games. And the more game there is, the more opportunity you have.
Yeah.
My thing is this. I went to the Heat-Pelicans game on New Year's Day, you know, went and got some chos and sat around. I didn't leave the game being like, ooh, that was too much basketball.
No, when you're there, you want it to be longer. I'm telling you, baseball, the game, the Marlins games I went to last season with the pitch clock now, it's too fast. I like to walk a leisurely lap around the ballpark, like to see the food offerings. I like to walk in the store, you know. And then, whatever, it's the fifth inning. I can sit down, watch a few innings, and all of a sudden you walk around a little bit. You have some leisure time. You get back to your seat. It's the bottom of the eighth. What are we doing? What's everybody in a rush for?
Are you at the mall or at a baseball game?
Yeah, no, I'm at an event. I'm having the time of my life. Everybody's rushing. Hey, let's do life. Art Festival. Hey, Art Basel, 1 hour. It's 1 hour from now on, Art Basel. Everything's got to be super quick all of a sudden. You're not allowed to be leisurely on anything anymore.
It's this internet society.
That's what it is. Football. Yeah. First score wins. Any game. Yeah, you might go home 3 seconds after you got there.
Start every game in overtime.
Every game is overtime rule. Sudden death overtime rule.
One more thing Adam Silver is floating out there is if you get fouled on a three-pointer, you would only get 2 free throws because it would save time. That's not a joke. That's real.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
You get you'd have all the incentive in the world to foul people who are taking threes.
Exactly. Yeah, that might cause more time to be. Yeah. I don't know.
Just hack him.
He's just floating. Yeah.
You have a limited number of fouls. I get that, but
hey, you shoot a three, I punch you in the crotch.
What a game plan.
Keep it up, Steph.
Yeah. Enjoy your 2 points.
You already had your kids. We talked about this earlier, but just in case you missed it, our Panthers, they lead the Atlantic Division now after defeating the LA Kings last night 3-0. They have that doubleheader this weekend against the Blackhawks, then the Islanders.
All right, very good.
On to weather from the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is in the mid-70s right now. Very, very, very light chance of rain throughout the day, and it'll drop down to about the mid-60s this evening.
All right, sounds good. Clay Ferrero from Local 10. He's going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Shake what your mama gave you.
Hawk and Crowder.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I'm going to take issue with something here before I tell you about Hard Rock Bet, and then I'm going to bring on Clay Ferrero. But today is Phil Collins' birthday, 74. I remember last year on Phil Collins' birthday, Jimmy playing Easy Lover and me saying, hey, this is a Philip Bailey, Phil Collins song. Like, Phil Collins has so many songs. You're playing the song that he duetted with Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind & Fire. I think in Miami, maybe you do In the Air tonight to celebrate Phil Collins' birthday. Maybe you go back to the Genesis days. Give me a little Abacab. Easy Lover, that's not on the Mount Rushmore of Phil Collins songs. I just wanted to get that off my chest because I didn't know that song was coming in, but I know why he played it, and I just want to get that off my chest. Or Sussudio, Jimmy, another great Phil Collins jam, Sussudio. Crowder, our friend Clay Ferrero is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. Clay Ferrero, of course, sports anchor and reporter at WPLG Local 10 right here in Miami. Crowder is in Orlando for the Pro Bowl games, and Clay is with us now. Hello, Clay.
Hello, Hawk. Can I pile on a little bit?
Please.
Especially down here, how can you not do In the Air tonight?
Right. Like, if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of Phil Collins songs, especially for the Miami market, you're not going to not put In the Air tonight as number one.
Yeah, yeah. That is gross ineptitude.
Yeah. Jimmy, sorry. That is gross ineptitude. Go ahead, you can respond to Clay, Jimmy. No, no, and no holds barred. Take the gloves off, Jimmy.
No, I agree. I could have played that one or Sussudio.
Well, there you go. Jimmy's fighting back with all he can muster.
I'm not gonna lie. I had low expectations, but dang.
No, you know what, though? I appreciate a man who can admit when he's wrong. And he's
true.
Wrong.
That's
like,
true.
If we're celebrating Phil Collins' birthday, Easy Lover is not up for debate. It's not on the list. You got to go Sussudio, In the Air Tonight, Billy Don't Lose That Number.
I Don't Care Anymore.
I Don't Care Anymore.
In the Air Tonight... I've said it before, when there was a veteran thing where the vets get to pick the music for the, like, during the games, pregame, and Zach Thomas, he just always said every time they asked him, play In the Air Tonight. That's it. That's his only, he was only
in the
request the entire time.
Hurricanes in the late 80s? They still use it nowadays, but in the late 80s, that was the jam.
And the only time I ever saw Zach get out of pregame mode was when the baseline hit. He'd do the air drums for a couple seconds, and then he'd lock back in.
A la Mike Tyson, right?
Yes, from The Hangover. Yeah, it's a great scene. Yeah, it's a great scene. Yeah. Today, on this day, as long as we're talking about birthdays, I'm going to get to Jimmy Butler stuff with Clay here in a sec. On this day in 2009, the movie Taken premiered in theaters. And I will hold that up against any popcorn movie that you could throw at me. Like, that's a movie you sit down with a bucket of popcorn. Taken is one of the best all-time movies for just great action entertainment. Clay Ferrero, agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree, and I know that's not what people come here for. I mean, whenever I come on your show, I think people are expecting us to disagree about a lot of stuff, and I feel like we're off to a terrible start today.
Right, we're agreeing on everything.
But Clay, both of us as girl dads, would you let her ass leave the house ever again? Because there was a Taken 2 and 3 and 4. Get your ass in the bed.
It's so true. Like, we've had a hard time explaining because our kids have really gotten into, especially over the holiday season, the Home Alone movies. And it's like, come on, man. Seriously? Like, at some point, you got to just remember where the kid is. It's not.
Right. Start there. Just know where the kid is.
Kevin! Kevin! Get your ass in the car, Kevin!
That's the one kid you should make sure you don't lose again. I mean, DCF got to come in at some point, right?
Are you at some point, you would imagine? Are you surprised Jimmy Butler is still, it's 4:35 right now, January 30th. Are you surprised Jimmy Butler is still a member of the Miami Heat? And does that speak to a lack of a market for him?
Well, no, I'm not surprised because, I mean, when we talked about this on the show before, to answer your second question, yes, it does speak to the lack of a market for him. There's only one team that wants to trade for him and give him a contract extension. And the only reason they want to is because they're trying to get rid of another bad contract. I mean, that's where we're at. If Phoenix could unload the Bradley Beal contract, this would be done by now. But if Phoenix didn't have the Bradley Beal contract, I'm not 100% sure that they would be trying to cobble together other better contracts to make it work. So, yeah, there is a lack of a market for Jimmy Butler. I think there's especially a lack of a market for anybody who wants to give him the contract extension that he's looking for. And I've said this from the beginning, why, if you're the Miami Heat, why would you take on bad money rather than just sending Jimmy Butler home? Why would you do anything that would hurt your long-term flexibility just to take on another bad contract? So I'm not surprised, but yeah, I think it is directly because of the lack of a market.
And to that point about Jimmy's, you know, market value and all, was it mismanaged by Pat and Mickey and Andy that now we're sitting here in the situation we're in? Like, should they have seen the tea leaves or whatever and tried to do this earlier?
No, I think if you mean like in a previous season, maybe. But look, I don't think that anybody was overly willing to trade for Jimmy Butler even before this season started. I think this is where we're at. He is an older player who played for Tom Thibodeau, has a lot of minutes on him. Yes, man, when he was in his prime and played in the biggest moments on the biggest stages, he was lethal. He was so great. And yet, Father Time comes for us all. And so, look, if you want to sell me on maybe they should have traded him last year, I guess I can listen to that. And yet at the same time, it was a team coming off a run to the NBA Finals. And the only time I think that they knew that they weren't going to make another run was after Butler got hurt again. At that point, you know, I think the trade deadline had come and gone. And so, you know, I just think that they played it out as long as they could. The one thing that would have been mismanagement would have been if they had given him the contract extension he wanted, and they didn't. So, yeah, it's gotten ugly, but the second they, you know, it's either going to get ugly or it's going to get really ugly for your franchise because you overpay a player that's, you know, shouldn't be making that much money.
Play it out for us a little bit here. We had Zach Gelb on yesterday, and he said, I don't care if you add Jimmy Butler to the Suns. They're not winning a championship. Add Jimmy Butler to the Suns, and they are what?
I mean, I think there's probably something to that. I think especially when you look around the the landscape of the Western Conference and you look at just how good Oklahoma City appears to be, you know, and then, hey, I know Denver's had their ups and downs, but they still got that guy, you know, and I think it's really difficult to look at them and say immediately they're going to be a contender. Now, I do think that Jimmy Butler is a much better fit with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant than Bradley Beal is. I never understood that deal. I never understood that fit there. And yet I think because Bradley Beal's value has gone so far down that, you know, they're just stuck. And I don't think that you're going to be able to cobble together enough supporting cast pieces to add to that roster, even if you don't get Jimmy Butler.
And post, and I really do believe this is post Jimmy Butler. I don't think he wears a Heat jersey again. What's the rest of this year, Clay? Is it a, let's see what the young guys have. Are they going to be around 500 in the play-in, you know, maybe in the play-in tournament? Is that what our ceiling should be for this team post Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. And I think you have to be okay with that unless somebody decides to call and, you know, offer you something of value in return. I have a really hard time seeing Miami put something together that can be competitive for De'Aaron Fox. Not unless you find out that Sacramento is in love with Khalil Ware and then you're willing to give him up. And that's a completely different discussion, which I don't think the Heat are willing to take on right now. But
yeah, that, you know, makes me a little, it gives me a little angst. You're just saying that and putting that out in the universe.
But I think that's what you would have to give up at this point to try to make any sort of a move that could improve this roster to contender status, you know, especially once it became increasingly clear that Jimmy Butler engaged and healthy wasn't going to be a part of this team moving forward. So, no, and I think you're okay with that. I think that it's okay to lean into youth. It's okay to lean into some growing pains with Khalil Ware, and there are going to be some. You know, I think you're starting to see like what happens a little bit when he gets on the other team's scouting report, but then he's still got so much ability that he's still able to do some things. So that's okay. I think Heat fans would fully understand that and, you know, get through this year and see where you're at the end of this year. And then look, next year, I understand why the Heat are trying to maintain flexibility for 2026. I don't know that Luka Doncic is going to be available. I think there's been too many times where we've kind of, you know, put all the eggs in the basket of a superstar or two superstars, and then it doesn't happen. But I don't think that takes away from the idea that it's time for a youth movement. It's time to move on from Jimmy Butler. It's time to see what you've got with this Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, plus whoever else core. And taking on a bad contract is not going to help you do that.
Does Jimmy Butler look small to you in all of this now?
I think we've always known like how maniacally competitive and, for lack of a better term, petty. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think petty can sometimes be good because it gives you like this us or me against the world mentality. What I think, guys, I think it's one of two things. Either Jimmy lacks somebody in his corner that can tell him no and can tell him, you know, very openly what the market is, or he's just not listening. And I don't know which one that is, and we'll never know which one that is. But I think Jimmy Butler is the type of person, put it this way, you've heard a lot of comparisons to Michael Jordan. I think comparisons to Michael Jordan's competitiveness and his hard-headedness are very valid. Unfortunately for Jimmy Butler, he was never quite the player Michael Jordan was, you know?
Right, and, right, yeah. And I think neither, that's what neither was anyone, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's... Look, I think Michael Jordan was able to get away with being that way because he was Michael Jordan, and it made him great. It made him the best of all time. And so when you're Jimmy Butler and you need help, you're not that Michael didn't need help, but Jimmy is not Michael. And so when Jimmy tries to be Michael, especially, you know, when he's 35 years old and there's not the market out there for him, this is what you get. You know what it is, guys? Remember how great Terrell Owens was for so long and teams were willing to put up with his headache. And then his last year with the Cowboys, he was kind of just like a really, really good number two receiver at that point in his career. Then nobody wants to deal with you anymore. And I think that's kind of where we're at with Jimmy Butler.
And when D Wade left, went to Chicago and Cleveland, like, you know, he left, and him and Pat, you know, the story was they had a little tiff, you know, and Hawk always laughs that they prioritized Hassan Whiteside over Wade that year. But then they came back and said, the key's always under the mat. Is the key going to be under the mat for Jimmy, or there's no key when he picks that mat up?
No, no, because Dwayne Wade never quit on the franchise. You know, Dwayne Wade never walked out. And, you know, there's a lot of things that went on there. I think that was a situation where Dwayne Wade was a free agent. Dwayne Wade knew that he had more money waiting for him elsewhere and was just begging the Heat to meet him halfway. And, you know, look, Hawk's not wrong that they chose Whiteside over him at that point. And, you know, that's the ruthless nature of Pat Riley. But this is a different situation completely. This was not just the ruthless nature. It was also, man, this doesn't help us at all. There is nothing about this situation that if you give in to Jimmy Butler anymore. And by the way, to your point about your question about does this make Jimmy Butler look small, I think part of this too, guys, was that he were willing to give Jimmy Butler more leeway than maybe they'd given any other superstar as long as he was producing. And I think this gets back to the Terrell Owens stuff. People are willing to give you a little bit more leeway when you are that good. And then once you're not, they're not able to give it to you anymore. They're not willing to give it to you anymore. Well, with Dwayne Wade, I think it was a similar thing where, but it was only financial, and Dwayne just left for more money. I don't think anybody faulted him for that here. Maybe not anybody, but I think most people understand where they were coming from, Dwayne Wade's side. But I think with this, man, you got up and left in the middle of a practice. There's a lot of other stuff that's been rumored, reported, and stuff that, man, that key's gone, and that key ain't coming back.
Let me just give you the latest, because I'm looking at tweets from Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald. He says, per source, Phoenix has remained the most aggressive Butler suitor. There isn't a lot out there for the Heat, which is steadfast against taking Beal contract. Per Kevin O'Connor, though the Warriors inquired on Butler, Curry and Kerr have concerns about Butler's fit in the Warriors' locker room and thus have indecision about moving forward. And then Barry Jackson follows it up just a few minutes ago with, the Heat remains determined to trade him, but if they cannot, if no team takes Beal and the other offers are garbage, then A, Butler can opt in and the Heat would have an easier time trading him in July. B, Butler can opt out and the Heat could assist on a sign and trade if it helps them. C, yeah, he could simply sign elsewhere and the Heat would have $13 million in space or a $14 million exception plus a $5.1 million biannual exception. I mean, there's not a ton of plays for them. And then Barry Jackson writes, with regard to option C below, Heat cap space this summer would grow from $13 million to $26 million if the NBA suspends Terry Rozier. We know what's going on there today, or $39 million if Rozier is banished from the NBA. And Barry says, important to note that Rozier has not been charged with anything and the NBA investigation found nothing. Feds are investigating. It's very interesting to me. I mean, it is such slim pickings for the Heat and Jimmy Butler and this contract that I don't, as much as I was convinced he was going to be gone before the trade deadline, I mean, it seems like there's almost a real shot that he won't be.
Well, no, and all of those options that Barry laid out, no, they don't sound great, but they're all better than taking on a bad contract to hurt your future flexibility. That's what the Heat have been dealing with from the beginning with this thing. And yep. So when Barry Jackson says garbage offers, that doesn't mean, oh, they don't like the player they're getting in return. No, it means they don't want to take on other teams' bad contracts that hurt their future flexibility. They would rather get nothing, and I think they're right.
Yeah, very interesting to me.
And this, we're about to reset. Like, Pat, I trust Pat, but now we're about to redo it. We had Shaq Wade, then we had the Big Three, then we had Jimmy Bam. We're about to reset this thing, and we're on that path right now, right? It seems like that with waiting for 2026.
Yeah, yes, unless you're able to make some sort of a win-now move, which, I mean, it's really hard to see one at this point. But
it's the Luka thing, yes, in 2026. But like you mentioned earlier, Clay, they've gotten burned before. They got burned with Giannis.
Yes.
They were getting ready to make a play at Giannis, and he signed an extension. And I have a feeling they're going to get burned on Luka.
I tend to agree with you, too. And so I would
say, we're agreeing on everything today, Clay.
it's such bad talk radio. Man, I can hear the radio dials changing. I know there's no
we are agreeing everything.
But you know why the radio dials are changing? Because my kids turned on the show to hear me, and even they're bored. So, you know, now they're like,
hey, Clay, Hawk and Appel are going to have pie tonight. You want to go?
Yeah,
with them?
Do you have a problem with this? I'm meeting Josh Appel tonight at the diner for some coffee, maybe a grilled cheese, piece of pie.
No, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's such a great friendship thing. My wife's going out with a friend of hers. His wife is going out. We're going to meet at the diner.
Clay, when's the last time you and one of your male buddies have met at a diner to have grilled cheese and pie at 9 p.m.?
A great life delight.
Man, now that you put it like that,
well, the way that he's putting it sounds creepy, but it's not the way that he's putting it. I mean, the way that he's putting it sounds weird.
What are you doing?
I'm meeting my buddy at the diner.
To have grilled cheese and pie.
They have whatever I feel like having at the diner. That's right. I'm going to enjoy a nice little meal and a conversation with a friend of mine.
It's weird.
You don't have any friends.
Is that true, Channing?
He doesn't have friends. He's not like you and I, where we enjoy some time with our friends. He has acquaintances. He has coworkers. He has teammates. Friends, but he's not like he doesn't have friends.
But I'm going we're going to watch the game. We're going to do something like sporty. Maybe go to a shake spot. Hit Tootsie's Cheetah.
I might get a shake tonight at the diner.
I don't want to see you shake. Clay, I'm not going to eat. Hey, Clay, man, can you meet me to have some grilled cheese and some pie about 8:45?
Sure. I would love to. Channing, I would love to.
Yeah,
you weren't actually inviting me.
You can join me in a pal if you want.
Can I tell you something, though? Seriously, I'm much more like Channing in that respect. I'd rather just spend time with my kids, my family, and my friends. Well, my friends are the people that I text.
But my kid's at college up in Tampa, and my wife's going to be out. So, no, I'm with you. But then you get to a stage in your life where, like, oh, you want to go meet at the diner? Sure, I'd love to.
Meet at the
diner. I'll get to that stage in my life, and I'm like, no, I'll just chill on the couch, and I don't need anybody. I don't need to be bothered. My friends are the people that I text. Like, that's if I'm texting you about sports and stuff like that, you're a friend. I don't have to meet you at a diner.
Ticket Wizard just texted me, put me down for some pie.
Clay. I think the difference, Clay, is that your wiggle worm is still wiggling. Hawks done died.
That could be.
I was going to try to top that, and I can't. I'm just going to let that lie.
Very well could be.
Okay, no more wiggle, Clay.
I love a meal with a friend at the diner. I really do. I think it's one of life's great pleasures just to have some conversation with a buddy at the diner. And we specifically choose the diner because, for me, the best conversation happens at a diner with a pot of coffee on the table, and we could meet at Twin Peaks, and we could I'm telling you, the best conversation, the best vibe at a diner, a pot of black coffee on the table, and the time of my life.
Smells like mop water.
Yes. Sometimes they're mopping while you're there. They don't care. It's a diner. They're just, I mean, whatever they feel like doing. It's part of the scene. I love it. You sure you don't want to come, Clay?
Man, I would love to, except I've got Channing invited me out, so I gotta
go. And he asked you go to Joe Stone Crab with Will Manso and Andy Slater and Dookie Lang every year. How's that any different?
Okay, now I actually like diner food, so I don't mean this in like a hoity-toity way, but are you really comparing the Joe Stone Crab food to a diner?
No, but I'm not going for the food. I'm going for the conversation. You're not meeting those three guys because of the food. You're meeting them for the camaraderie.
Yes, we are. We're going for the food. I text those guys all the time. Shallow. I don't need to see them.
Then those aren't friends of yours. You might as well. So what do you, show up at the golf course and just get thrown into any foursome? I hate those people.
I don't play golf. I'd have to be around people to play golf. That's not.
You ever do that, Crowder? You ever show up at the golf course and just get into a foursome?
Yes.
Really?
I usually go with one other guy, but if it's packed, you have to get a foursome.
Right.
So we'll play with two dudes we don't know. And yeah, I don't talk to them too much.
Yeah, I would never do that. That always sounds, because you don't know what you're getting. You have no,
Hey Clay, that Joe Stone Crab's expensive. You pulling the credit card out, or do you go to the bathroom when the meal's done?
Wait, you're supposed to pay?
I've asked Will that before because Slater is the one who puts it together, and I always say Slater should be the one who pays. But Will said everybody pays their own share.
Oh,
is that what Will said?
Yeah.
I feel like this is Fight Club. I feel like
does Slater pay. I want to know if Slater pays because he should pay.
You know what the number one rule of Joe Stone Crab Club is? Don't say who pays.
Clay Ferreiro from Local 10. We'll see you, Clay. I'll see you at the diner.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, buddy. Stop being so agreeable. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up, so do not go anywhere. We'll get caught up on headlines and see if any other hoo-ha is going on.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts, and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Hawk and Crowder.